Hey everyone, welcome to this week's Divine Purpose Insights podcast. I'm Laura Molitor, your host and Divine Purpose coach and spiritual activist. This week, I've been thinking about the impact of embracing the challenging things in our lives and in ourselves. I've shared some ideas along these lines before, but I've kind of felt led to reflect more on it, and I wanted to share with you. It's about facing your fears, the things that concern you or sometimes difficult to think about, but not with a sense of forced bravery, but with the intent of healing, insight, progress, and freedom. It seems like things come up, or they do with me anyway, that just feel wearying or hard, even dark and shameful and disappointing. We can dwell on these things incessantly and give them the power to mesmerize us, or we can alternately run away from them, put off dealing with them, or simply stew in anger or sit in acceptance. But there's a way wherein we can really find healing and release, not only from the particular challenge, but from what the underlying fears and doubts and worry actually point toward, what they reveal more of. For most things going on that disturb us are really beyond the surface. They really get to us because there's something in our thought that responds to it, is sensitive to it, or continues to feel burdened by it. It's not the thing, it's our thought about it and about ourselves. So to embrace the challenge is to face it with intention. It's to say, I see you and you cannot kill me. You can't do anything to me, but you can serve my right desire, God's true intention, to see my way clearer, know my true self better, and live in a way that has more meaning and more majesty. So I've got some things in my own life that want to keep making me feel stupid and small. I can look at those things and decide I'm stuck, being weak and puny. That's just me. Or I can embrace the fact that I keep seeing these things, keep being aware of those accusations against me, is the way I like to think about them, and refuse to let them just lie there until the next time they come up and make me annoyed. It's taking the serpent by the tail, as Moses did, and making it into a staff to lean on. It's holding on to the angel that came to Jacob in the dark night of his struggle for his soul, as another Bible story tells it, and then he became a better man. He held on to that angel until it blessed him. He didn't let go of that healing answer that came to him until it thoroughly did its job. And what it did was cast off the dark sense of self and replace it with the true and real and better idea. And Jacob went forth and built a nation out of it. He became a great person, a great hero, actually. So I began to sit down with a notebook, usually, because for me, writing helps me, and to get at the lie. To recognize it, say hello to it, sit on down and challenge that lie on the spot. And it's not really with some willful sense of being above it, but with a conscious recognition that this flaw, this foible, this mistakes or problems or issues or traits that keep getting at me is not there to kill me. But the truth about that is here to make me live better going forward. The lie leads to the truth. So if I take that lie, that serpent that says I'm weird or I'm failing or small or useless, and then I see that as a lie, then what is true? Well, it's a lie about the truth, so it's the opposite that's true. Why is that? Because God defines me, not opinions, even when they're my own. So it gives me a chance to acknowledge, repeatedly and forcefully if necessary, what's really going on. Where there appears weakness, is that really it? No, strength is there. The strength actually comes in my willingness to let go of that small view that keeps me afraid, and maybe at the same time, maybe a little too safe. It's a reason, it's an excuse not to move forward. And then it allows me to be open to God's intention, His big design, that truth that says I'm not a collection of problems or bad experiences or unlovely character traits. I'm actually the daughter of God. And so are you, or the Son of God, with a nature that God made that I can't lose, but does sometimes seem hidden when I let those problems win instead of using them as a springboard to discovery. Another way of looking at this came up as I listened to a very talented singer-songwriter, Brandi Carlile. She was talking about her latest album, which is called By the Way, I Forgive You. The album's really intense. It's beautiful and stirring, moving in the words and in her performance. She said, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase here, but she said generally that in making the album, the key to whether she would use the song was that it had to be one that was difficult to sing, that gave her a lump in her throat, that stirred her and the others working on the album. She wanted to have this CD that faced on what challenged her. And what came of it is this moving piece of work, and one in which she head on looks at what's not always easy to look at. And yet one doesn't feel she's indulging pain, but singing herself out of it, seeing it clearly, and learning from it by refusing to deny it, but instead to see how the recognition of that dark could lead to an even fuller light, a freedom going forward. And to also maybe give others the feeling that they could face these things too, or things like this, and learn and grow. And even in a way, honor the pain, and not as having legitimacy over the joy, but as having its own place in compelling us forward and teaching us, serving us in that way. Just like that, writing poetry has always been something that has helped me, and maybe it's a good method for me to do more of, to continue in healing. We all have different ways, and I think you know what they are. You know your best way of reflecting on things in a healing way. My poetry would take the nagging devil in my mind and put it right there on the page. See what the spirit would do with it. And you know what it did, because I was open, was to expose it, clarify, and it very often would end in a very grateful catharsis, either within the poem itself or in me after the poem was completed. Don't be afraid to embrace the challenges. Look at them. See them for what they are and for what they're not, and see yourself for who you are. A powerful idea of God made to flourish and to grow. And to do that, to take the hard stuff and leaning on the love of God to get a clearer vision of your life and yourself in it. Those challenging things about your life may not even quite be what you think they are. You may recognize, if you take the time, that your sensitivities are strengths. In fact, you might find also that your challenges have made you wiser, more loving, compassionate, and capable. They've helped define your purpose, maybe. Be open to what this time with your angel tells you. Be eager to take your biggest fear. Well, you can take any fear. You can be your smaller fears too. But to look it in the face, because it's likely you'll find that it really isn't legitimate at all, and that what is reflected back to you is someone who isn't confined by fears, but's actually absolutely ready to live more freely. Hope some of that was helpful. If you want to talk more about it or anything else, let me know. I'd love to answer questions or set up a session to help you clear and clarify and to discover and live your divine purpose. You can reach me at lauramolitor@gmail.com. feel free to check out my website, beingfreenow.com, for more information. You also can reach me through the contact form there. I'll see you next week.